Some time back we ministered on this verse, and I think today we should examine it a little further, because I think probably now you'd understand it a little better. Here it is, and it's, let's take a look at it in Psalm 119 and 83. For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. A bottle in the smoke, which means they had like leather bottles, which they hung in the poorer people's homes way back then in David's time. And it hung like from the roof or from the sides of the walls in the very humble homes in Asia and in Persia and Armenia, Turkey, and so on. They kept liquid and dry goods in them, and they had no chimney, so the smoke had to escape through the little cracks in the roof or even just through the door. And so these vessels would become black, and they become discolored from the smoke, and they become all wrinkled, kind of hard-like. And when vessels such as these are held dry goods and not liquids, they got even harder. They even got more shriveled and more discolored. Now, I believe David doubtless had seen such bottles hanging in the tents of his poor people when he was on the run, when he had to run away from Saul, when he had to get out of the camp, when he had to leave his land. And I believe he saw this, and I believe this is where this verse comes from. Of course, it didn't happen in his palace, but in the cottages, I say, of his own poor people, I'm sure he saw this. And so he says to himself, I am become by trouble, by affliction, by trial, by persecution, like a bottle in the smoke. And yet, I do not forget thy statutes. So first of all, God's people have their trials. They get put in the smoke. And secondly, God's people feel their trials. Now, a lot of times people don't want to say, well, I don't feel it. I'm not going to go by feeling. They feel their trials. Let's get realistic. They feel their trials. They become like a bottle in the smoke. And thirdly, God's people do not forget God's statutes. They think on God. They think on the Word of God. When they're in these trials, now God's real people will think on the Lord. Now picture David here. His enemies have brought him anguish and great depression. That happens. You have some enemies, maybe even your own home, that cause you anguish and a great depression. And yet he keeps on. And let this encourage some of you sitting here today, some of you listening on the radio or to a tape, if you're depressed, if you're that wine sack, if you're that wine bottle hanging up, or that bottle that holds some kind of goods, that leather vessel that's holding some kind of goods that's dried and cracked and parched, joy will come, and great joy. He waits for his hope in this Word. Your hope is in the Word of God. There is no other hope. Now, you can read all kinds of books. The measure they help you is a measure of the Word of God that they have in them. You can hear all kinds of ministries, but it's the measure that the gospel is preached and the measure of the deliverance by the Holy Spirit working through the vessel that it's going to help you to be delivered. It's the measure that you receive by the grace of God that's going to help you also. So you come and you bring your wine sack in here. Maybe it's dried and parched and depressed. Maybe it's in a place where there's a lot of smoke. Maybe you're listening on the radio, you're in a place where there's a lot of smoke, or to this tape, and there's a lot of smoke in your life. But I believe as full-grown saints, we know to wait, because help will come. Now, if it's one thing I've learned how to wait. Now, saying that, I'll probably have to wait a little longer the next time. See, there's a danger in ministering the Word of God, because, see, you actually have to live what you preach. Especially when it's from the Holy Spirit. If it's not from the Holy Spirit, you won't have to live it, because He didn't give it to you. You got it all by yourself. Maybe you got some movie or whatever. But when the Holy Spirit puts that message in you, You preach that message. Or another danger is listening to the message. You might get stabbed in your heart while you're sitting right here now today. It might be that two-edged sword. Now, it's a mini-edged sword, really, in the original Greek. I mean, no matter which way you wield that sword, it'll cut. And it'll cut so deep, it'll kill you. And so it takes a miracle of God and only the grace of God to bring you back again. It's the only one that can heal that wound is the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. You know, so the Word saves you and keeps you and it kills you. And so, well, make up your mind. Well, it has to kill you first so it can bring you alive again. So sometimes there's a danger in sitting in a message. You say, oh, you're ministering right to me. Well, maybe that's so. But hey, the Holy Spirit does that. Just let it be. But anyway, these emptied skins were like David's face and like his mind, wrinkled. Maybe he had a few wrinkles in his soul. It was worn, unused. His character was smoked by slander. Oh, man, in my ministry, I'll tell you, it just naturally follows that people love to slander, don't they? I mean, it just starts out with a little, oh, it's an evil question. I wonder why or this or, you know what I mean? How many are hearing this? And in your lives, when you're following Christ and you're doing the works of the Lord, expect to be slandered. Just expect that. Now, if you try to act real nice and try to get along with sin so you won't be slandered, hey, who are you fooling? They'll slander you anyway. They slander each other. Ooh, but these empty wineskins, his character was slandered. He was empty. He was dry. He was parched with persecution. Mental, miserable, persecution. Now, isn't persecution and it aren't trials, don't they make you miserable? And don't you look like some kind of an old wineskin? Hanging up in the smoke? Huh? And you're all dark about your face and you're all, hanging the mouth? I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet I do not forget thy statutes. Now, these bottles that were in the smoke, they had very little inflation, very little fatness, very little moisture or beauty. They had none. And thus, I believe, God wastes away, debases, and empties his people. This is of the Lord. He empties you, he gives you the trial, he hangs you up in the smoke, and he empties you out for a reason, so that he can fill you up with divine things. You feel like you're hanging in some old smoky place? Praise God for it. So number one, God's people have their trials, and this is true, because trials were in the covenant. God never intended that his people should be untried. And David had no sleep. No sleep. He was in this very smoky place. He waited on the Lord to save him from these relentless enemies. Does it ever seem like your enemies are relentless? That the devil just keeps right on and won't let down? Don't blame people. They're just used. Whew. Never was meant that we would have, or that we could even choose, peace and safety. No, that's not the way it is, following the Lord. And we will have no perpetual happiness down here. You won't live in a little vine-covered cottage, all comfortable with little cakes baking in the oven and a little, pleasingly plump wife with a little bun in the back of her head delivered. More cakes, baby? No, it isn't going to be that way. Little kids gurgling and running about and swinging and little, swings with flowers on them, and you see through this sort of a mystical fog all these beautiful meanderings of your mind. It isn't so. It's not the way it is. And to me, that would be sickening anyway. See, I'm used to being in a smoky place. Now, for saying that, I'll probably go into a smokehouse. But it was never meant that we should be free from all sicknesses. Now, I know that there are going to be talks, oh man, oh well, hey. It was never meant to be. It was never meant to be you're in the world. It was never meant to be that you be free from all the pains of mortality. But your light affliction is but for a moment. 100 years or so. Don't worry about it. But instead, when God made this covenant, He made the rod of the covenant also. And when He drew up the character of privileges, He also drew up the character and the charter of chastisements. When He got your character, He says, this is the character I'm going to make. You open up a door, and there is a charter of all of the chastisements it's going to take to make you like what He sees there in a finished work, like you're already finished. He sees it because He knows that He's going to give you these chastisements, and that's the way you're going to be when you get done with that rod wrapping you on top of your noggin, okay? Now, it's getting quiet in here because it's just too much truth. That is the way it is. Now, you positive talk all you want to, just, hey, go ahead on with it. You just say, I refuse to receive that. Or you sit there miserable wondering what's going on. I'm just telling you what's going on. This would give you some kind of peace. Now, you know what to expect. If God is going to make us over, now, when you have your own children, don't you have a set of rules over here? Don't you? Or don't you go down and buy some kind of a book, and most of the books you get from the world are worth nothing anyway. But anyway, you have these rules over here, and in the schools, they don't have no rules at all. They're so afraid that someone might say that they're too brutal. So you kid can be kicking on them and everything, and see, they're looking at him, and the kid comes up and kicks them. Ooh, what a strange behavior this child has, and they write it down. Instead of picking the kid up and giving him a good slap. Don't you understand? But there are rules. And if you don't follow those rules as a child, the chastisements to make you, and your folks want you to be a type of person, you know what I mean? Somehow they're going to do it. And your Heavenly Father has these chastisements all ready for you. Well, not me, because, hey, I'm just going to play the moderation bit. You know? You take a look at them chastisements that's up on that wall, I'm going to tell you, you are going to mind God one way or another. That is the way it is. And if you're going to do it with both arms and legs up in cast, well, then that's the way it's going to be. God will have His way. Yes, yes, but I've got a lot of living to do. I'm young, I'm vivacious, I'm beautiful. People love me. They love the way I look and talk and my speech and my whole makeup. Oh, woo. Well, that's the way I used to talk. Look what happened to me. How many here? Now, I know there's somebody on the radio. It's talking right to me. Someone must have called. Now, that's how you are. You think you're the only lovely woman in the world. Let me tell you, there's a lot of them. Isn't that right? Isn't that pride? How many here? Or an altogether lovely man? You are going to get, there is a covenant with a rod in it. Spare the rod and spoil the child. Well, don't we have a Heavenly Father? No, oh, maybe this is too realistic. I don't know. It's the truth. And you know, when He gave us the will, He put rods among the things that we would inherit. You inherit. When you inherit the will, you can open up a case and it's all full of rods. Rod of correction, rod to take care of pride, rod to take care of jealousy and bitterness and all of these human afflictions. Why do you call them afflictions? They are afflicting you. I don't have any afflictions. What a lie. You're as jealous as you can be. You are afflicted with a spirit of jealousy, just like a spirit of sickness, because it is a spirit of sickness. It will make you sick. These are the rods that we inherit. And the rod of take care of self. Oh, that is a big rod. Ooh, it knows how to get to you. It's about 14 feet long, bigger than a weaver's beam. It pounds you in the ground, the only thing sticking out is a couple fingers in the top of your head, maybe your eyeballs a little bit. How many hearing this? Oh, such silly. Oh, you wait. I've peeked out of mounds of dirt. I know. See, trials are part of your life. Well, now, John, I'll just use you because you're sitting. Aren't you sorry you sat right there in plain view? Even set ahead, waiting for some meat to come your way. Well, here comes a piece. Ha! Chunky. Well, you stood up here and you got married, see? And you kissed the bride, and man, and you kids, you come up and you kissed, and I married you, and you know, the different marriages I've had, and so on like that. Some more over there, they're going to do the same thing. Did you have any trials after that you got married? Well, there was a rod. You said, we become one flesh, and now you catch it together. What one suffers, the other suffers. The other one makes sure you do suffer right along with it. I'm suffering. Don't you be smiling and carrying on. You're going to suffer right along with me. Get over here in this suffering closet. Okay. It's the truth, ain't it? Oh, yeah. See, these trials were predestinated to come your way. Predestinated. They have been carefully and they have been lovingly weighed out for you and me. I ain't going to give you more than you can carry. Some people can carry more than others. You're walking along, you only got 14 ounces, not even a pound of trials on. You're just wiping out. And here comes a guy walking, passing you up, and he's got a ton on his back. Oh, man. And you say, well, how do you do it? I can't stand a little trial. But he has predestinated the season in your life for that trial and that chastisement and that rod, and it's all in the works. And there's a charter, a trials made for you, specially tailor-made. Now, you go out and get a suit. You don't go down, you don't just go down and get into somebody else's suit. If you get a tailor-made suit, it's tailor-made to fit you. It will fit nobody else. Perfectly, that is. And it's the same way when you put on your trials. When you put on Jesus Christ, you put on trials. The world hates Jesus. Well, did you put on your tailor-made trial suit yet? Tailor-made by the Lord? Whew. He's predestinated their place. He's predestinated the intensity and how they shall affect us. Where will I end up? Maybe in jail. I don't know. Well, look at Paul. Look at Peter, Silas. Look at all the apostles. Look at them all. Look at all the martyrs. Well, that's negative to say you might end up in jail. Well, all right then. I'm positively telling you that God has got tailor-made things that are going to happen in your life. You might as well get ready for them. Yep. Hope he hasn't made any suits for me recently here, I'll tell you that. Are you hearing this? And also how they will affect us, I say. But oh, what a difference there is in the body and the soul. As the outward man perishes, the inner man, glory to God, something is happening with the inner man. He's made beautiful by more grace. It's the only way that grace can work. Are you hearing this? Okay, come on, don't get into talkathon here now. I believe good people should never expect to escape troubles and problems. Well, I'm just going to be good. Be good. Okay. All you got to be is good. Did you ever have a kid that come up and, aren't I good? Aren't they sickening? I'm good, aren't I? My brother's bad. Icky. And you say, yes, you're a good boy, but after a while, they come, aren't I good? Yeah, you're good, and you're good and sickening. Stop snitching on your brothers and sisters all the time. Right? Wasn't that right? Aren't we busy snitching on each other? You know what? That is sickening. You know what it is? Because it smacks of pride, and one thing that God hates is the worst thing. It's pride. Pride cometh before the fall. Happened to the devil, and it happens to everybody that tries it. Don't expect, I said, to escape trials because you are good. No one's good. Jesus said it. No one but the Father. Isn't that right? If you did escape, wouldn't you be number one? Oh, hey, have you ever seen someone that's escaped some trials and they're number one? I don't know. You guys are having all these trials and everything. I haven't had any. Huh? Everything is rosy. I mean, My life since I've been born again is so wonderful. And I believe it's because I claim and I hyper-faith it out and I believe. It's where your believing is, you know. You believe you're miserable, that's what you'll be. And if you believe you're happy, wow, get ready for a thunderbolt. Now, you know, one of these high-powered meetings, they'd throw me right on out of there. They'd come up with a couple of sky hooks and just lift me right out of there. Oh, they would. Say, get him off. He's ruining this meeting. We're just about ready for a collection here, a faith collection. That's a pretty heavy word, but it's the truth. How much faith do you have? How much money do you have? How much do you want back? 5 will get you 10. But have any of the saints escaped it? No. Look at Job. Lost all of his friends, lost all of his cattle, sitting on a dunghill, scraping off these boils and scabs off his body with the potsherd, and there he was up on top, and his friends say, what'd you do? I mean, we'd like to help you, but first let's go into the history of what you did. I mean, I'll throw you some breadcrumbs, but I mean, I'd like to examine this. I don't want to be involved with somebody that's sinned, you know what I mean? But they still stood around that dung, that stinking dung heap, just, you know, it was so much fun jibing him that they put up with the stink so they could give him a hard time. He wasn't quite miserable enough, see. Then his wife comes down, she says, why don't you curse God and die? Give me one good reason why you should live at all. Oh, man. Huh? Would you call that a smoky place? Right, John? Look at Abraham. He said, God says, now I want you to leave what you did believe in your faith and your people and get outside of the camp, a type of Jesus Christ. Get outside of the camp. Now I want you to go by faith and you'll know not where you're going. Because if you knew where you're going, it wouldn't be faith. So get going where you don't know where you're going. Well, which way do I go? So when it came to whether he was going to go into Sodom and Gomorrah or go out onto the plains, he said, well, I don't know where I'm going. You make up your mind. And then he thought in his mind, well, I'll believe that's from God. He'll just make up his mind. God will lead me, not what I see over there and what I hear and all those green plush meadows and everything. And you say first. Well, Lot was in the flesh. Abraham was in the spirit of faith. Well, I'll pitch my tents towards Sodom and Gomorrah over there, but, you know, I won't join in, but I'll just stick around, do some witnessing over there, and you know. Okay, fine. He accepted the trials. And the biographies, by the way, of the apostles. Read them sometimes. Isn't that wild? Are you having some kind of a trial in your business? I really enjoyed, I was talking to my son-in-law, Dan, and we were downstairs. He was talking about how he had told this guy, he had built his business up and he was getting this clientele going and there was no money that came in for a half a year. And the guy says, well, I'm going to let you go. And he says, don't be foolish. Now, that was a good word. That is the worst thing you could do is let me go. Now, he wasn't crying about it. He was saying, we're ready for a breakthrough. And they did some $1 million worth of business in the next month or something. 100,000, and then it went up to $1 million point something. See? Now that was the word of faith to a man that was over here looking at his books. He had his mind so heavy on the books and so heavy on the trials, he couldn't see the blessing coming his way. Because he hadn't been out there in the smoke. And after you've been in the smoke long enough, then you start to get an answer and you know the Lord is going to answer you. Whew. Think about it. Have any of them become vessels of mercy in all of them? Have any of them become vessels of mercy who have not hung up like bottles in the smoke? No, not one. Have any of you listening been left hanging? In the world, they give scripture again. I was left hanging high and what? Dry. And they say something else that kind of tickles me. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Have you felt unused? Hanging up there like an old wineskin, and everybody comes in and says, man, look at that nasty old wineskin up there. Whew. Have you felt like that? Keep on, because that's when you become Christ-like. Whew. And anyway, the royal mark on all the vessels and all the goblets was always the cross. The cross of trouble should mark every vessel of mercy. That's a vessel of mercy that's got the cross on it. But it's got trials connected to it. You were born into trouble. Sometimes your parents say that when you were born, you were trouble. And double toil and trouble come to the man who has double grace. Well, the Lord says, my grace is sufficient. If you got a double portion of grace, you're going to have a double portion of trouble and trial and tribulation. And, of course, double mercy is given to that man. Well, then sometimes trials come from the poverty of their condition. I believe the bottle in this poor man's house gets the smoke, gets all of the smoke, not the bottle in the palace. You don't get it. At the White House dining room area, you aren't going to see no old wrinkled up wine jugs. In the Russian leaders' homes, you're not going to see that. We find no smoke. Only do we find smoke in the poor folks' homes. And so it is with God's poor people. They will have smoke in their homes. Well, do you mean the rich folks will never have no smoke? No, only when their chimney clogs up. I mean, you know what I mean? Temporary. Very temporary. But for the most part, God's people are not wealthy. God, it says, has chosen the poor in this world, rich in faith, that they should be heirs to the kingdom of God. See, the poverty has its privileges. You know what the privilege is? Jesus Christ is in that. Wherever that there's poverty, wherever that there's a pitiful sight, and wherever there's a wine jug that's hanging in the smoke, there you'll find the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where he'll be. But it has its ills. But it has its smoke. But it has its trials. We don't know how we'll always be provided for. I don't even know how we're going to pay our next bills that are coming up here. That's the smoke that you live in. Right now we need about $15,000. Oh, I see someone reaching in their pocket. Thank you. Just put it in there. Give it to Mick after me. We may wonder where tomorrow's food is going to come from. That's the smoke that we live in. But you keep right on a trucking while you're in the smoke. That's what faith is. Praise the Lord. God, in the very midst of poverty, makes his children, the Bible says, very glad. And it also says that he cheers their hearts. And so that their humble home is like a palace. I remember we didn't have nothing. Man, you walked in the room, into this apartment like this, and there was a room as big as this, from here to there, and over to this edge here, and when you fold down the Murphy bed, that was it. You went to bed. And there was five of us. But there was gladness in that house. There was singing. We used to take the lampshade off, and we'd take the shade off of these standing old lamps, and then we'd sing into these things and have talent hour. Huh? And now, ladies and gentlemen, and I'd come out, I'd be dressed in my dad's coat, hanging down, had him rolled up and his hat on, hanging down over my ears, you know. Then they had all the gas meters there, you know, and I was, I'll have to tell this, because I still like to do it sometime. It was so much fun. And I would be Buck Rogers. Oh, I kicked everybody off of this ship. They weren't serious about it. You know what I mean. They thought I was a gas, you know. They had all these 20 things from all the apartments there, and you know what I mean? It was like a palace, that little cubbyhole. And so he sent sweet waters across, sweet music across these very troubled waters. And I see a lot of old wineskins come in this old church, down in the mission. Uncared for, depressed, dirty, beaten, ragged. But oh, when they get filled with the wine, the new wine of the Spirit. What a changed life they have. You know what happens? They become willing workers. Oh, a lot of times troubles come from our comforts, don't they? What makes the smoke? Somebody just said on the radio. Well, by the same fire that warns you. Wherever that there's smoke, there's fire. See, our comforts usually furnish us with troubles. Okay, now you got this great big, you're just hungry for ice cream. Kids used to ask me, say, oh, I wish I was a Greek kid and I worked in there with your dad and stuff, and then I could have, pie and ice cream and things. And oh, when I first got started working with my dad, I ate that pie and that ice cream, you know. It was comfort. But after a while, someone would say, how about some pie and ice cream? I'd say, gag time. We want no more of it. But it brought problems. Isn't that right? You can get so comfortable and you get lazy and then you get heart problems and you get... Whew. Don't they come from our comforts a lot of times? See, it's the very law of nature. A good as always has an ill connected to it. Doesn't it? Oh, yes, this is my brand new car. Just got it. You like it? Get in, sit down. Yeah, isn't that great? Boy, it's wonderful. Yeah, I sure like the dash on this. Scrape! Oh, no, you scratched the dash. Oh, God, a dash. No. Oh, I'm sorry, I overreact. That's okay. And the guy goes to leave. You dummy. Huh? Or your new furniture? Or your brand new nice carpet? It's got an ill connected to it. Why doesn't he take off his boots? Huh? What a dunce. You go to bed at night thinking about will the marks ever come out? So your comfort brings you no comfort at all. And that's the trial you have with your comforts. The stream that waters can also drown you. Isn't it? It's a nice little stream. Here, have a drink. What's that noise? Whoa! Oh, what a blessing. It's raining, huh? Suppose they said that in the day of the ark. Whee! They're dancing around. It's raining. Wayne, what is this? What is this falling? Huh? Oh, it's so much fun. It's so cool and nice. Woo, yay. Huh? Till they were floundering around. Till the waitress had to get in a rowboat and row over to their table. Then they got serious, didn't they? But it's the law of nature, love and hate. Huh? Oh, I love you so much, it hurts me. Huh? Right? There's pain connected to it. Isn't there pain connected to it? You're happy, and then there's the other side of happy. Unhappy. Sad. Miserable. Wretched. Poor. If there's an up, there's a down. Whatever the world says goes around, comes around. There's good and there's evil. There's sowing and there's reaping. God is the author of it all. And this fire that warms you. Oh, you got this nice fireplace. Oh, wow. And you throw all of the wrappings in there. Oh, I'm sure glad we got this. And look at even our, we put this to good use. We put our wrappers in there. Get the Christmas tree. Boom! Burn the house down. Well, it was such a beautiful fire. We were enjoying it, Mr. Fireman, your honorship. And all of a sudden, we put the tree in there, and we don't have no home. We were just sitting there singing, Happy Holiday. Huh? Oh, it's such a nice, warm, sunny day out today. I just love the sun. And so the sun keeps shining for about 30 or 40 days. Huh? That same wonderful sun is not so wonderful anymore. And the rains that come and the flowers all bloom and it's real nice, they bring the whooping cough and the colds and all that kind of spring stuff. Well, there's always the opposite. Even the atoms all over, they can kill right now. There's always the opposite. It's the law of nature. There can't be someone good looking until there's someone like me. Is that right? And so you good looking people, you just got to rejoice. It's always the opposite. See, we do serve a purpose. To make you look better. And I'm saying that because a lot of times when a person is doing ill, he makes the person that's doing half right look real good. That's why God judged by the heart. But there's nothing good without its ill. There is no fire without its smoke. Oh, as you ever go out camping and you're out there and your kids and they sit around the camp fire there and they say, all right, now we're going to tell stories. And you're sitting there, you know, ooh, it's all spooky out there in the woods and everything, you know. And you're sitting there and then they say, and then they make up these stories and then this big bear and he was creaking and then they have somebody hiding off in the bush cracking sticks. What was that? I don't know, I'll be real quiet, you guys. And they're real quiet. Oh, it's nothing, it's probably just a squirrel. And the guy's out in the weeds out there. He picks up a big old stick. See, and he's about dying laughing. And he breaks one of these great branches. About this big around. Whang! Well, that was sure was no squirrel. And you know, you're sitting around this campfire, and it's all cozy and warm and everything. And pretty soon your eyes are burning. You know what I mean? Oh, and it seems like the wind blows right your way, so you catch all the smoke. And you shift places, and you go sit over here, and here's this guy sitting, he's all right, now it's blowing all over on top of you again. Isn't that the way it is? Maybe I'm a little bit crazy, I don't know. Even in the comforts of our very own home, we have relations. Mark it down. Every relationship engenders its trials. If you're going to be next to somebody, it's going to engender a trial. Oh, there's one person at work, I tell you, you can depend on them. They're so like clockwork and they're so much the same all of the time. I just love that person. And for weeks and months you've been working with them and you just love to work with them. They're so great. And you come in and you put your arm around them. Hi. Haven't you got anything to do? Don't you get wounded? Well, sure. Huh? Your next step is to get real good and mad. I didn't say anything to her. All I said was, hi, you know. What's wrong with her today? Whew, what a grouch. I'll never like her again. I hate her. Huh?
up in many smoky trials. Hey, it's wonderful. At least you got somebody hanging with you. Isn't this a favorite phrase of the Christians? Hang in there. I mean, it's like they're always hanging in there. They're never standing up and they're so busy hanging in there. Hang on. I often wonder, to what? Let go of yourself. Hang on. They got their arms wrapped around themselves. But also, every new, fresh relationship, everyone we enter into opens up new joys. But it's always a new source of sorrows. Oh, I met the most neatest guy today. Whoop-de-doop-de-doop-de-doop-de-doop-de-doop. He was so neat, 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 neat. You know what I mean? Neat. He's a neato. You just met somebody that you're going to have to put up with down the line somewhere. Someone that's going to be one of them old wine bottles that's hanging up and getting a lot of flack and a lot of smoke. And you're going to say, well, what got into them? It's always a new source of sorrows. Oh, the little baby comes home. You sweetheart, nummy little doober. Doobie, 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 huh? Do they bring you any sorrows? You're pretty sorry looking when you have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, guy. Huh? Isn't that right, John? Laying there trying to get some sleep, and it looks like a herd of turtles comes into your bedroom. Daddy-o! And they will bring you sorrow until the day that you die. Relationships engender sorrow. There's trials in having friends. There's trials in being in the body of Christ. You have to put up with one another. Some people don't put up. I'll go someplace where there's nobody to put up with. I'll go to this church over here. Boy, these guys got it together. Wow, look at them. Oh, they're so spiritual. Oh, huh? Huh? I just have to laugh. I really do. I mean, I do. Because they go in, they take a look, and they think, this is it. Oh, and they think that's all there is to it. Oh, these people, they'll be like angels. You won't have to worry about ruffling their feathers. You better not ruffle their feathers. No, watch them. You ruffle the feathers one time, boy. Oh, bam! Don't you understand? Dealing with people. Going to have trials with them. Maybe you don't like to hear this. Maybe, but just go there and see if that isn't right. That's why God has no respect to your persons. They're all the same. Always a brand new source of sorrow. Now, Dolores goes out, and she finds a brand new store, and she gets in the store, and they give her everything. Oh, do you want this? Here, take this. Oh, wait, is there more we can give you? Oh, let's get... No, I'm just using you, Dolores. Not picking on you. And they give you this, and they give you that. And isn't that true? And they give you everything. They pile it on. But the one day you go in there, and this source of joy turns to a source of sorrow. Sorry, we're cutting you off. Bam! wasn't very neat, right? It's going to happen. You're dealing with people. Now, how about you parents out there? Have you gone through the smoke? I'll tell you what, when you go through the smoke and you get a little experience, you learn to appreciate God in the inner source. You go through these things and everything is around you and even yourself, your countenance and everything breaks down. It's God saying, I'm inside this whole dried up wine bottle. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek it. I'm in here. I'm in this miserable wine sack with you. And I had to hang you up and get you all by yourself and get all the people's attention off you, and you had to become dark and wrinkled and parched and cracked so you'd catch on. So how about you parents? I know your children, you listening on the radio, is just a real joy, but they are also your smoke. Aren't they? Aren't those children your smoke? How many are hearing this? They are your source of joy, but they are your smoke. They can break your heart. They can grieve your spirit. Let me tell you, even when the... even when they do smoke and they get smoked, you know who will be in there smoking with them? You will be. When the kids are in there smoking, you're going to be in there smoking with them. But are you wealthy? Maybe you're listening on the radio and you're wealthy. Lock all the doors and windows. Nobody else is getting out of here. Maybe you're listening to me and you are wealthy. Now, it has joys with it. But still, it has trials and sorrows and troubles. You have more to care for. You have more to worry about. You could lose it overnight. Banks could close. People could run away with all of your money. You could be sued. You could be kidnapped. You could be shot. Look at the Kennedys. Stocks, they could flop overnight. And it says in the end, men's hearts will fail. And I found out in my ministry that joy and sorrow are twins. You weep for joy and you weep for sorrow. See, our fire here gives us smoke to let us know that our comforts have their trials also. Yes, our fire gives us smoke to tell us that our comforts have their trials with them, and we as Christians have extraordinary fires, so we must expect to have extraordinary smoke. We receive Jesus Christ and have the fires of love and have the fires of peace and have the fires of joy and have the fires of grace. And then in this world that tries and smother it, it causes you a lot of smoke. You come on with a lot of love, and you come on with a lot of peace and joy and grace, and the opposite will move in, the wet blanket crowd, and they'll cause you to smoke. Maybe it's in your job where you're hanging in the smoke. But your joy is still on the inside. We have the promise of God's Word. There is much fire in it, but many, many times the smoke hides the meaning. I mean, it hides the illumination of the word.
And so we get hung up in the smoke to test our hope. Hope upon hope, the Bible says. Hope upon hope. I mean, hope upon it. You have that joy of assurance, but you also have the smoke of doubt which gets in your eyes. It blinds you, and you just, oh, man, I doubt this thing. Man, this is a terrible trial. I wonder what's going on. But I said we also have the trials that come out of our comforts. The more comforts you have, the more fire, the more sorrows, the more smoke. Many times we come to church to warm our hands, but then the ministry has much smoke in it. And the Holy Spirit starts to convict here and convict there, and the sermon searching you out hits you, and you say, I don't mind an ouchless band-aid, but today I got full surgery. I got my head cut off. And walk out of here with your head. Man, what happened? Now, I'll tell you one thing I've learned. The fire of the gospel ministry can cause much smoke. Are you hearing it? Bottles of smoke. But I think David had another thought. Like, the poor bottles stayed so long in the smoke that they turned black, not just one puff of smoke, not just one day in the smoke, not just one week in the smoke, not just one year in the smoke, but many years in the smoke. But that it lives in an atmosphere of smoke. Now I believe this ministry, an upfront ministry, gospel preaching ministry, is going to receive, has received much grace, but look out for a lot of smoke bombs that might walk in. You're going to get smoke. Wherever there's fire, you're going to have smoke. Wherever. So you got to keep moving around. Are you hearing it?
And so you see, some of us hang like bottles in the smoke for days or weeks or years.
No sooner do you get out of one trouble than another one comes along.
You hit the top of the mountain only to see the top of another mountain, and you look down and woo, down you go. You're always in the smoke. No sooner do you get out of trouble, no sooner are you at ease, and another one is upon you.
Oh, I'm just having a great, big, happy old time, and oh, man, everything is going so great. Now I almost forget about the old smoky little room there that I'm going to be put in, and oh, I'm out there, and oh, wow, I'm transparent. Everybody can see what's going on. Wow, things are really breaking for you, Charlie boy. Pastor Paul, wowsy dowsy do, and a thought comes to me. Ooh. Get ready for the smoke. Get ready for the next trial. Is that right? I mean, if you're going to continue on in Jesus and you're going to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're really going to get to know Him, and you come out of this one smoky situation, this persecution trial, and all these different things, and all the, oh man, I mean, hey. And you want to grow in the Lord, there's another one. But you know something, what you have on your side? You have experience. Experience. When you get... John, when you get to be my age, and Randy, when you get to be my age, you know what you're going to have? Experience. Good ones, but wherever there's good ones, there's got to be bad ones. Happy ones, but wherever there's happy ones, there's got to be sad ones. Up ones, but wherever there's up ones, there's got to be down ones. It's called equalizers. How many hearing this? Ooh-wee.
That is the way it is, and that's the reality of going out and getting up front and preaching the gospel. You are always in the smoke, and you'll always be in the smoke, and that's where I want to be. Because where there is smoke, there is fire.
So listen, beautiful people listening on the radio. That was David's condition. He had trials every day, each day trials. Maybe your mate is not born again. Or they have habits and they have hang-ups and they have hang-on-tos. Or your children are rebellious. Or each day it seems is filled with grief. Do you see this truth then that I'm speaking here today? You are become like bottles in the smoke. But now I'm closing on this. There is another point. Christian men and women, they feel their troubles. They are in the smoke. They are like a bottle in the smoke. There are some things you could hang up for months. Some, they don't change much. Because they are so black and shriveled, they become worse. But the poor skin bottle shrivels up in the heat. It shows the effects of the smoke. You can tell somebody when they're in the smoke closet. You can tell somebody. They look like that old wineskin up there, or that old holder of dry goods in there. You know, they get sort of that dark look about them, and they get this sort of that hang of the mouth thing, and they get the wrinkles and they get the creases in their faith, and they're going through the trials and they're going through these tribulations, and some think that's negative.
Oh, that's negative. A man of grace and power should never feel those things, and he should never go by feeling. Thus saith the Lord. Huh?
No, they say it like this. We could be burned, stabbed, stoned, and not feel a thing. That's wrong. We are not stones. We are bottles in the smoke. We feel our trials much, much more because they're most times come from God. Now, do you think God would send you a trial if you could claim you wouldn't feel it? I'm going to send you a trial. I don't receive it. Huh? You ever heard anybody say that? I refuse to receive that. It's like somebody coming up and saying, I'm firing you. Here's your three pink slips and your check all at once. I don't receive it. Well, that doesn't make any difference. They're going to lock the door. You cannot come in that building. If you do, they'll pick you up by the armpits and throw you out of there. Isn't that right? See, it's just realistic, isn't it? Oh, is it? I mean, I'm trying to make it real, realistic.
I don't claim that.
You didn't claim it. God sent it to you. There's no claiming to it at all. It's yours. Get up there. And you can claim until the Lord comes, until you say, Lord, have your own way. You're going to hang up in that closet, in that smoke closet.
No, we feel the trials much more because they're coming from God.
But at the same time, it's a funny thing, they can bring us rejoicing because we know they will work, the Bible says, the fruit of righteousness in us. When you go through something, when you go through a thing, it works in that beautiful thing. I don't know if I got this claw here. I wish I had it here. I had a message one time on, oh, here it is in my collage of goodies. They have people in olden times, they'd go mar the fruit, just like that they hack at the trees so it'll produce more. A real good tree, they just hack the bottom of it to pieces, apple trees and orange trees, and they mar them. Okay, now you're giving out beautifully. Yeah! Why did they do that? Because that's when they produce. And they take and they know just how to do it and they mar the fruit. They go, zhee. But it takes a knowing hand how to mark the fruit just right, the figs. Zhee. Zhee.
and they produce more, and they're bigger varieties, and they're better. They've been afflicted. You see, somebody's been through a whole lot of trials, aren't they a better person? Aren't they reality with two legs? Unless they become bitter and hard. Kill or be killed, type people. Get yours first. No, I'm talking about Christians that have been through the trials and afflictions and all of these persecutions and so on like that. God does it. And so let's not be so carnal and unbelieving and coil with trials, but walk in faith into the courts of God and ask the Father, Father, what is this trial for? What is this tribulation for? What is this suffering for, Father? Let me know what I'm suffering for. But see, faith itself doesn't sidestep the pain of chastisement. It enables us to endure. Did you ever have, you know, when you have your kids, you got to teach them to endure. Don't you? Sometimes they don't want to put their snowsuit on or something like that, you know. And you say, now get your other foot in there, and they're all crying. They stiffen out. Well, you're going to get this snowsuit on you whether you like it or not. And so you teach them how to endure, and you stuff that leg in there, and you stuff the other leg in there, and you pull your arm back, and you pull your arm back, and you put the snowsuit on it, and you zip it up, and they're bawling and screaming and crying, and you put the hat on it. And they have to endure. Why not? You're enduring with them, aren't you? What's the truth, isn't it? See? And you put the galoshes on them, and they bend their foot sideways, and you straighten the foot out, and you stiffen your foot up there. Endure. Stiffen it up. And you jam it on there, and you jam the other one on. And you put a scarf around them, and they walk out like some kind of a robot. You know what I mean? And they get outside, and they have all kinds of joy. You see them out there, whee, jumping in the snowbank. You know what I mean? And you teach them how to endure. And the next time they come, I don't want to put my snowsuit on. Well, then you won't go out. And about a half hour later, I want to put my snowsuit on. I'd rather endure that than stay here with you. This old smoky house. Huh? Now, I want to say something here. A Christian is not wrong, no way, in giving way to his feelings. Well, Jesus cried, wept over Jerusalem, cried when Lazarus was in the tomb. Oh, but you should not show emotions. That would be lack of faith. I mean, you know, claim it isn't so, and if you claim it isn't so, of course, you can't cry. Your leg is chopped off, but claim it not to be. Pay no attention, it's just a symptom. And by faith, it'll jump off the floor and go back on your body again. Hey, what I'm saying here is the truth. And the people look at you like, this is some kind of a nut. It is the truth, isn't it? And there'll be certain people listening on the radio. Well, it could happen. Oh, I know that. Well, why take the risk by being stupid? How many are hearing this? It's like the guy says, I don't have a headache. And he's having a hemorrhage. I do not have a headache. And pretty soon he's holding his head. Oh, boom, 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 boom. Cause of death, no headache. I tell you, if I went to one of their meetings,
They were skyhooks would be in there. They'd have the spiritual patrol would be in there after me. Only it wouldn't look too spiritual. They'd be beating me. Too much reality. See, but the problem is we left the gospel of Jesus Christ and we don't want to have any kind of trials. We don't want to relate with anything like that. No, wait. And here's Jesus from a cross, God crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I tell you today, our Heavenly Father never intended to take away our griefs. When we are under trial, no way. Jesus was afflicted. Jesus was a man that went through trials and tests. Jesus, hallelujah, God come as a man, was acquainted with sorrows. He knew them. You're not going to be put beyond the flood, but he puts an ark out there for you to escape him. Or until you rest on a mountain, are you hearing this? Or until you get to heaven. Yes, we have painful feelings. Did you ever have them feelings that are painful? Oh, feelings. Feelings like I never had before. Oh, feelings. Huh? Don't go by feelings. And you hold your hand over the fire. Don't go by them. Your hand burns off and falls off. No, you got feelings. They're for a reason. Painful feelings. Yeah, we got to rejoice and we got to sing praises while we suffer. I am become like a bottle in the smoke. And David is laying there looking at all these shrinking things. He's kicked out of the king's court, and there he is out there living with all these poor folks. I really feel what God puts on me, don't you? When God puts something on you, don't you feel it? Or do you think he put something on you so you didn't feel it? I feel what God puts on me when he's dealing with my conscience, when he's dealing with my attitudes, when he's dealing with my motives. Don't you feel that? There you go again. See, you're not supposed to go by feelings. That's why you're so messed up, Pastor Paul. Talking to a person not too long ago, says, well, now, you have a mission, and you have a church. And if you have the mission, doesn't the mission swallow up the church? Huh? And I thought to myself, what an ignorant thing to say. The church does have a mission to feed the poor, meet the needs of the people. Where were you when I was sick and in prison? Where were you when I was a widow? And it has all those duties to do, and you're sitting here asking me such an asinine question. I don't even want to answer it. The problem is the person had never been in the smoke. And so then the wife and the husband, they start agreeing back and forth, and I didn't answer right away, so they were really smacking their lips and getting real wisdom. They felt this anointing to go on. You know what I mean? And I thought, go ahead at it, because you know what? Nothing, you convince a fool against their will, he's of the same opinion still. And I thought to myself, here are two very lazy people. Isn't that right? Isn't that what the church is supposed to be doing? I don't know. That's what the Bible tells me. No, you're going to have your feelings and you're going to feel things and you're going to feel down and you're going to get depressed and you're going to say, my God, what's going on? I'm like a bottle in the smoke. See, a trial that we don't feel is no trial at all. Isn't that right? If you spank your kid, don't you want him to feel it? Let me just sits there and smiles at you while you're... Hurt your hand? Try a club. Huh? No, you want the kid to feel it. Right? Some parents, they make sure that Junior's got 14 diapers on and wax pants and a snowsuit and a scarf stuck in there and everything, and then they go, no, naughty, naughty. Isn't he cute? Huh? Well, I tell you what, you better get pull down them pants and get past them wax diapers and get in inside there, or you're going to have you a full-grown monster. Child Beeler, child, heard it on the radio. Arrest him. Throw him in the clink. He's telling people to beat their kids. No, raising kids has a certain amount. You have a charter of chastisements. When they do wrong, then you do this and so on. Like there's a certain amount of rules that got to be kept, all right? You ever seen somebody that's never been spanked? Man, they are miserable, self-centered, egotistical, frumping boobs, right? Aren't they? Ask my mother the windmill. She'll tell you. I needed it. Glory. Are you hearing this message today? Maybe it's too simple. Maybe it's too real. See, it's feeling the trial that makes it a trial. Are you feeling the trial right now? That's how you know it's a trial. Stop binding Satan every time you have a trial. Well, people get into that. I mean, they spend their whole day, I bind you. Well, now, that's all right. That's scriptural. But they bind Satan on everything. They stub their toe. They bind Satan. I mean, you know, watch where you're going. Pick your feet up. Yeah, they do. They take off their shoe and a nail is ripped off. And they, ooh, I bind you. You better bind that toe up before it falls off. But they just get so stupid and so asinine. I don't believe it. And then you're supposed to sit there, and if you don't go along with that, brother, where have you been? You have not got the jewels, the pearls of wisdom. And they're sitting there with that great big toe. I'm not. I know this is of Satan. I know it. Well, maybe God just wanted to, you know, put you on the bench for a while because you're dangerous. Don't you think God does that sometimes? Benches you? I believe it. I've been benched. Makes you appreciate getting in the battle and listening to the voice of the Lord from then on. So you make the plays right. See, the essence of a trial lies in my feeling it. And the more I feel it, the more I understand. God intended his trials to be felt. His rods are made out of you know, large sticks. They're not made out of wet noodles and feathers. They are a stout stick. And as hits, they fall just where we will feel them, just where we need them. He finds the niches in our armor, so to speak. He spanks us where we'll be sure and feel it. Or maybe we spank our kids on the rump. Maybe we spank them there so that they won't sit down and they'll stand up in their trial. Maybe we need more spankings. Maybe we need more spiritual chastisement so we don't sit down, but that we stand up. Having done all, stand in your trial. Are you hearing this? Also, trials that aren't felt are not, they're very unprofitable to you. What are you going to profit if you don't feel it? Maybe you're going through a thing and say, my God, I've been through this thing right now. I'm feeling like a total wipeout. But if you didn't have that, it would never empty you out. It wouldn't empty you of all your depravities, all those things you've been hiding, claiming they aren't there, worrying about it, sleepless nights about it, and trying to hide those things. Oh, I heard someone just say, oh, that is such negative preachings, I just don't believe it. No, I'll tell you right now, the more we feel, the more we are profited by it. I think a trial that is unfelt is unsanctified, and a trial we do not feel at all cannot be a blessing to us, because you see, we are only blessed by feeling it. Under the authority of God's Holy Ghost, you're going to feel it. Don't be ashamed of being sensitive under affliction. You should be. You're afflicted. Here's one of the kids you got. You got three kids, John C. And the one kid gets afflicted. And the other kids are peeking around the corner. Smiling around the corner.
Dubica, spanker. Yeah.
And so they walk up. Doobie, get a spanking. And Doobie says, get out of here. Go on. See, sensitive. And when you're under these kind of things, you're going to be sensitive. And it's like everybody's picking on you now. All right, step up. Bring a board. Bring a big one with a nail in it if you want to. Go ahead. You all want to crack at me, I know. Nobody loves me. I'm going to go out and eat mud pies. Huh? We get sensitive. We are and we're supposed to be sensitive. After you get a spanking, aren't you sensitive? After you've gone through a spiritual trial, aren't you sensitive? But also you're sensitive to yourself, but also you're sensitive to the needs of others? And these two little characters that are peeking around the corner, they get a spanking, now they understand, now they're all sensitive. Oh, you think it's funny, do you? Getting a big kick out of it, are you? My mom used to say. Did you enjoy your brother? Did you enjoy seeing his little red bottom? Maybe you need the same experience. I learned to do my laughing away from my mother, let me tell you. Somehow she knew I'd be somewhere laughing, though. No, you should be sensitive. And so you're sensitive and you're wounded and, oh God, the whole world is against you. You mean, you know, hey, what's going on? God, answer me, answer me. It's a dry in here and it's so smoky in here. Answer me. And then these other jugs are hanging in there and they won't answer you. They're all dried up in their own thing. They're going through their own particular trial. But I think many people are running to and fro saying, thus saith the Lord. Self-appointed. Doomsday people. Who are void of any love whatsoever, unused, full of fat wineskins, no wrinkles, no heat. Or some of them that had been through the smoke and never understood what they were in, and they got bitter. There's a lot of you preachers out there. Did you know that? You hung up in the thing up there, and you blamed the people, and you blamed Satan, you blamed everybody, and God just put you in a trial, and oh man, you're really having a hard time, and so on like that. And I'm sympathetic to your need there and everything, but I can hear on the radio you are so bitter. So bitter. Oh man, fireball. All because that you had to go through a trial. Say amen. But there are those that think that those people have a trial. They must have sinned. What'd they do? Man, it went down. They must be weak in the faith. They must have been unfaithful. No, you just go ahead and tell them, hey man, I am hurting, and I ought to. For God has me in a trial that I might feel it. So that I can say that though that thou slay me, yet will I trust him. I am like a bottle in the smoke. I'm going through a trial right now. But, I mean, I'm not going to try to, you know, claim my way out of it. I'm down, and I'm feeling like a total, social disgrace, and I'm feeling like, you're listening on the radio? And I'm feeling like a total nothing, and man, I was going along so great, and my ministry and everything was flourishing, and now I feel like a total nothing. I mean, you know what I mean? I just feel, oh, wow, I feel awful. But I know God has got me in a trial. But the bottle in the smoke gets very black, and so does the Christian when he is in the smoke of trial. Or in the smoke of a gospel ministry, or in the smoke of persecution, or in the smoke of their own living. And so you start to lose a little esteem, and you start to hide, and you start to lose your confidence. Maybe you're a preacher and you've lost your confidence because you've been through a real hellish trial. Maybe that you have to come into the church and you've lost your confidence and you don't know it. You don't know enough that God is going to put you, and you've been listening to all this jargon for about 13 years on hyper whatever, and you don't know that God put you through trials, and you're walking down and your heart is thumping. Get up to the pulpit area and you think to yourself, what have I got to offer? You got a lot to offer. You can talk about the trial you've been in. Don't worry about it. Yeah, but they won't think I had much faith then. And you look at my face, it's all drawn and saggy and wrinkled. I've lost the joy. I've lost everything. I've lost esteem. It's okay. It's okay to feel that way because you're feeling right now your trial. Don't quit the ministry because you're going through a trial. You're just going through a trial. And you know, if you just balance yourself out and say, yes, it is appointed of God that I have this trial, so I come into realistic preaching and get back onto the gospel road. Yeah, but, you know, things went all wrong for me, and I went out, and this happened, and that happened, and blah, 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 blah. Did you ever think that God allowed it? Are you really feeling it right now? Good. Because it's going to work to the fruits of righteousness in you. Don't let somebody say, told ya, told ya, told ya, told ya, told ya. Don't worry about them, they're just another trial. Right? Oh, here comes the second blast, the ha 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 ha. Don't worry about them, preacher. See, there's going to be a whole lot of preachers. When the whole thing comes down, when the whole sham comes down, when the whole thing crumbles in, they aren't going to be able to take the trials that are going to come their way because, see, they've been taught differently. Oh, we think so well of ourselves when we're bright and all goes well. But when we're under tribulation, when there's no smoke, don't we think well of ourselves? But let the smoke come. You know what it reveals? It reveals the blackness of our own hearts. See, the trials show.